Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to continue our teaching. We've been talking about the Spirit-led life because it's really important. The whole thing of it is you can't have there's an impossibility to have a Spirit-led life if you aren't conscious about your own spirit. It'll never happen. See, most people, they talk about the Holy Spirit, but you need to understand the Holy Spirit leads our spirit. You're not conscious of being spirit. This is, most people in the body of Christ are body led. They're looking for something on the outside. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for something in that way for God to lead. And we need to be very careful in those areas because in looking at those areas, you need to understand the God of this world, Satan, lives in this world and he can bring things to pass in the natural realm to make you think. He can influence people to do things in the natural. And if you're moved by what's in the natural. One of the things that the Lord told Kenneth Hagin back in 1952, he said, many have talked about the last days before he comes. Many of my people are going to be deceived. They're going to be led astray by false miracles. I've been around and I've seen it. I've watched demonstrations, the demonic demonstrations, and I watch Christians go nuts over them. Oh, everything's supernatural. It's God. No, it's not. See, I was involved in sorcery when I was living in the world. And we knew how to manifest demons, and demons did stuff and did things in the natural realm. And I'm just surprised the ignorance of Christianity. They don't know the difference between God. This one thing, you got to know God and what he does. If you don't know God, you'll accept anything. So you have to learn to know God. What the Bible says, one thing I see is I look at the things that happened in the scriptures and things that took place. And I know that that's the kind of stuff. You know, Jesus, we don't see Jesus made statues cry. He didn't, you know, do none of that kind of stuff. He didn't have people with blood running out of their hands. And he didn't have none of that stuff. He didn't do any of those things. See, if we want to know what God's going to do, well, you read the Bible and you find out the things that God does. And you measure things against the Word of God. It's like I was in a service back years ago. And this woman would have oil pour out of her hands. And I mean, they literally pour out of her hands. They would bring her towels and she would soak them with oil. It was a demonic manifestation. It wasn't God. Because she would have this stuff and she'd sit in a service and I'm in a service and preacher's preaching's up here. And she has this oil pouring out of her hand and people are bringing her towels and the whole service is being distracted by her. Well, that wasn't God. But they all went nuts over it, and this big name minister, if I mention the name, you know who it was. So it says, God said he wants her to lay hands on us. And I said, adios, and I was out of there. Said, that lady ain't touching me. And what she found out later, she's doing all, there's all kinds of things revolved around demonic. But people I've watched over the years. There's major main ministers that I've watched over the years that have accepted demonic demonstrations as from God. And I've watched it numbers of times. Demonic manifestation. They accept it as God. They take a hold of anything that's supernatural. We don't take a hold of anything that's supernatural. The devil can do things. You know? The Antichrist is going to make an image talk. You know? And the devil can do things. But he don't do what God does. You know, it's number one, the church will follow after all kind of demonstrations of all kind of stuff. You know, I ain't interested much in just somebody having oil pouring out of their hands. I like the idea of what Jesus did, went around healing the sick. Now, I would rather have a meeting of healing the sick than oil pouring out of hands. No, not today. We want demonstrations of stuff. We want to see all kind of things. I want to see a lot of healings. I want to see people getting delivered from bondages in their lives. That's what, you know, I don't need a show. We want something that changes people's lives. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He changed people's lives. It wasn't just a show to put on things for people just to see stuff. He didn't do that. See, people, that's one thing he said to the Pharisees. He goes, you know, the trouble with you Jews, all Jews you always want to see is a sign. You want a sign. You want a sign. You need, no, I don't need a sign to believe. I got the Word. Amen. I don't need a sign. I got the Word. The Word's true. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to say. The only signs and wonders I want to see are Bible signs and wonders. That's the only ones I want to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God wants to do the miraculous. We want to look at an area today, to Luke to the 16th chapter. What was Jesus came along, and this is, you know, this is Jesus talking in this thing. And so I'm always at the big thing of this. Jesus got the last word in it all. If Jesus said it, well, then it's so. And so Jesus is talking here. One of the things that Jesus is going to do in this story that Jesus tells, we get a great picture of the spirit, soul, and body. We get a great picture because if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we need to identify ourselves as spirit beings. We have a soul when we live in a body. Today, the church world and most of the church world is geared toward body in their thinking. The whole thing is body. You know, I've heard this so many times, it always, you know, it just irritates me. Christians say, well, somebody died, now they're healed. They weren't sick. Their body was. See, Christians, this is why Christians can't get healed. They have no clue what they're believing for. They think that, you know, God, when I got born again, God didn't make me a sick spirit.
That's right.
Am I sick? Do I have a sick spirit with the Holy Spirit living in it? The Holy Spirit's united to you. The Bible says the Spirit is in you, is making alive your mortal body. Well, I mean, my words, what is it doing to your spirit? If my body's being renewed day by day, I mean, my spirit is renewed day by day, the inner man, like the Bible says, how can he be sick? How can anybody think that their inner man's sick? The only reason they do is because the church is taught physical Christianity and not spiritual Christianity. They're taught physical Christianity. No, you know, I don't care what my body turns out like. Everybody's body's decaying. Ain't one of you going to live forever in the body that you're in. We're going to get a good one. But the one we're in's dying. Does that mean my inner man is a sickly, weak thing dying? Well, most of the church world thinks so. They think, well, you know, now when I leave, I'm going to get healed. No, well, you get healed. The sickness was in your body, knucklehead. They bury that in the ground. I mean, it should be obvious. It don't take a rocket scientist. Do you wonder why the world thinks we're nuts? Because we are. We teach the craziest stuff and say the dumbest stuff, and they can figure that out. They think, oh, man. See, I was at the funeral. We know what we did with that sick body. And we could dig it up next week, and it's there. And we come back in a year and dig it up, and it's there. And we say all these things, and let's get over and think right. See, this one thing is I think I had good teaching when I started off and I learned early in my Christian walk. See, my spirit inside has a lot to do with my healing. See, there's physical healing from the side of doctors do, but there's spiritual healing. It comes out of that comes from your spirit. It comes out of your inner man. Your inner man has life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to give you life and more abundant. Hallelujah. He said, I'm just going to give you a little bit. You'll get by, but, you know, life's going to be bad. You know, you'll quit coughing one day when you die. But see, we have all this stuff on the outside and we lose track of the real life. Hallelujah. We lose track that we're eternal beings. Hallelujah. We got this temporal body, and I am so glad. I would hate to think this stupid thing I have to live wherever with. Oh, my God. And I'd hate to think I'd have to go to heaven with yours. You got to get looking better. I'm telling you. I've seen enough of it, and so have you, right? You know, I've looked in the mirror enough, you know. I don't stand naked in front of the mirror. It'll scare me. Well, folks, you know, see the body, everybody gets all over this. I'll tell you what, I have life and you have life and you got to know that. This is something we got. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. You know, deliverance and healing, that's something that we got. And I want you to see this because Jesus tells this wonderful example here that gives us a lot of idea. Now, it shows us a good side and a bad side because in Luke 16, Jesus, he reveals the story of what happened with the rich man and Lazarus. Now, some people come along and say, oh, this, you know, is a parable. It is not a parable. Jesus told parables. He'd say, you know, something is likened unto something else. He would say, he didn't say that here. In fact, he opens it up and he says this in verse 19. There was a certain rich man. So you can't use the word certain. Do you ever look at the dictionary what certain means? Certain means for sure. It means that's the thing. It's what it is. you couldn't have a parable is, would be, you couldn't use a certain because it's not a real story. It's not true. You're just making a comparison of one thing to the other. That's all you're doing. And, so he's telling us something here about this. And he said, there was a certain rich man, he said, who lived clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gates, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. He said, the rich man also died and was buried. And he said, and being in torment, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. It says, then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am torment in this flame. He says, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. He said, fixed. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here from there pass to us. He said. Then he said, "I beg you, Father, Father, that you would send him to my brother father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If those do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who raises from the dead." Now this story is very interesting because we see something. Two men die. Two men die. Now I want you to get this. See, the church world, when I grew up in church, you know, if you were real rich, they were all trying to get rich, but they always, you know, they weren't doing good at it. But they were all, you know, on the idea if you were rich, you were probably going to hell because they try to use this story. One of the reasons you didn't understand, and if you follow Jesus' story, you need to know about the time period. The Pharisees and those guys were a small group of men, and they were very rich. Most all of them were very rich. And those guys, they believed that the poor people were going to be lost. Because they didn't know God. They couldn't know God. They're poor. They lived in superiority, or lived like, you know, sort of like the church that I went to as a kid. They were all going to heaven, but none of the other groups were. You know, we got it, and you know, the rest of them don't. Ain't nobody else could be saved in any other group, only them, you know. And they were the only ones, and heaven was going to be 3 blocks long and 3 blocks wide, and that their thing is, you know, they had a little bit bigger blocks in those days. But anyhow, you know, they were going to be there because it wasn't going to have to be big. It was only them. So, but see, this is what way they look. So this is why Jesus used this illustration. Really, it was toward the Pharisees. He's using this illustration for. Because, you know what? The poor people in his Jesus' day, and understand this, about 90% of the people were poor. They lived in Palestine in those days. So they needed to hear this. They needed to know that poor people went to weren't going to heaven, because we're going to talk about that. This isn't about going. They didn't go to heaven. They couldn't go to heaven. Jesus Christ wasn't crucified. They couldn't go to heaven. We're going to talk about this because you need to understand some things about the Bible. You know, people just sort of throw it out there. But anyhow, we find here in this lesson, two guys died. They both died. Their bodies are buried. But angels came and carried Lazarus away. They carried him away. This is it carries him. It didn't say they carried his body. Well, his body's in the ground. It carried him. Who's the him? See, the real him was carried away. It doesn't call his body him. Your body is not you. Your body is not you. That's why Paul said, I want to depart and be with Christ. What was he talking about? His body? Well, Paul didn't plan his body leaving. He said, I want to depart. See, he didn't consider his body the real him. See, we're today, we're Americans and focused on the flesh. The flesh nation. Focus, and the church has done, see, the world follows suit lots of times in the church because the church has emphasized the flesh. So therefore the world emphasized the flesh and they're better at it. They're much better at it. I don't know why the church tries to get over into their game. We can't play their game like they do. We try. You know, it's one thing. If I wanted a good show, I wouldn't go to church. These ones shows that the churches put on with all their little lights and all that stuff. My God, go to the rock concert. It's cheaper. You don't have to tithe. And you can go and buy a good ticket, sit there and watch all kind of show. You can see lights better than any church ever had. Better videos. Better quality. See, I gotta go there. I gotta feel good. We're trying to use what the world's trappings is to get. What does the spirit man need? What do you really need? Most people don't even know. They have all this. You get people listing right down the things you need. I'll guarantee you 99% of that list will be flesh stuff in the natural. Don't even know what you really need. So you got to come place to know what you really need. Hallelujah. I found out if I can meet the needs of the inner man, if I can join in with that, hook up with God, it ain't hard about the rest of it.
Amen.
The hard stuff is when we're trying to satisfy what the inner man needs by the stuff on the outside. That's the hard part. Is understanding that. See, that's why people think about spirituality is hard. Spirituality is not hard. It is hard if you're trying to be spiritual fleshly. That's hard. Because you ain't never getting there. It's tough sledding that way. You don't get much snow. You're just pulling that sled on stones. That's all you're doing. And that gets hard. So we want to walk in the spirit. So these two things happen. We find out about this. These bodies are buried. And this is one of the ideas I want you to get across on. See, the brain is not your mind. We've been talking about that. Why? Because their brain is in the grave. Their brain is dead. It's in the grave. It is rotting. But yet, they're fully conscious. They have full consciousness. Both of them have full consciousness. This guy, he's talking, he has full consciousness. And see, his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, he still has it, it's intact. See, your inner man has emotions. Now, you can be run by the emotions and the senses of the outer man, or you can choose to be run by the inner man. This is where spirituality comes from. Spirituality is a person who learns to live by the inner senses and not the outer senses. To be dominant. That don't mean we don't pay any attention to outer senses. But you can't let your outer senses be the dominant. That things are true to you. See, like we go with what they call science. Well, science is this. It only believes in what it can see, touch, taste, smell, and that kind of stuff. Well, I'm sorry. There's no faith in that. And you can never be spiritual doing that. You can never be spiritual. See, I don't ever need some Christian scientist to try to prove to me that the Bible's true. It's too late. I done believed it. And if it says it, I don't give a rip what he can prove or not. See, everybody's looking for something natural. The natural to verify the Bible. The people. Listen to this story. In this story, a guy says, if somebody comes back from the dead and tells them, they'll believe. And what does Abraham say? You got to believe the word. You don't get saved by experiences. You get saved by faith in the word. And that will never change. I don't care how much you see signs, wonders, and miracles. You don't get saved with faith from signs, wonders, and miracles. You get saved by faith in the Word. Think about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to 500 people, the Bible says. He appeared to 500 people. And how many were on the day of Pentecost? 120. Huh? Oh, if I could just see something. Yeah, you just get more unbelief and you wouldn't be able to believe God at all. I just need to see something else tomorrow. I need to see. This is the wonder of the Word. The Word changes not. Tomorrow I get up, the Word's the same. I can look at it tomorrow. I can believe it tomorrow. I can have the experience of the Word. See, this is all about the spirit man. See, this guy, it died. This rich man, he is thinking exactly like he thought when he lived in the world. He has not changed. He's over in the realm of the spirit. He looks, you know what he's still looking down on Lazarus. See, I'm the rich guy. Abraham, you tell Lazarus to go stick his finger in water, come over here and touch my tongue. You tell him he needs to obey what we want to do here. He hasn't changed. You need to understand this. You renew your mind on this side. I don't care if you go to heaven. You'll be thinking exactly like you do here. It don't change. You step over in the spirit realm. I've watched this. I've read over time people's experience. You know, like people who died and who left their body. And so they died, they left their body. But they end up coming back to their body. Now, this is always interesting because when they came back to their body, I never heard a person say, you know, I left my body and I was still as sick as I was when I was. People always talk about how peaceful it was and how everything was when they left their body. You know, I was reading a thing because a person died on the operating table and they talked about they left their body and they said they were like up above the ceiling and they could look down and they were watching them work and trying to get that body back to life. And they're down there working on that body. And they were up there just as at peace and they said, you know, looking down at it, watching, said didn't trouble them at all. Why? Because see, the inner man, the outer man, you know, everybody else is wringing their hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're there. Hey, it's good. Why? See, the inner man ain't the real guy. And then they talk. I've read people. Then that person came back down into their body. And when they come back down into their body came back to life. Their body didn't come back to life till they came back inside of it. You know, see, your spirit's the life of your body, not your brain. They said a person's brain dead. Only the doctor. Don't worry about it. He's the only one. Because they don't know. They think brain dead means that you... No, don't. A person leaves their body. What is your life is your spirit man. When the spirit leaves the body, unless God does something miraculous, you have people get caught up to heaven, lots of times they think, well, they're in a coma. They can hardly even sense any kind of life going on inside of them. They leave their bodies. The life is in your spirit, not in your body, not in your brain. See, we've made the mind the big thing, and this is the thing. See, everybody got to be intellectual if you want to go in there. This is where I find the big problems. Americans. American thinks, you know, we're smart. It's a good idea. Education's a wonderful thing. But we think education is what's going to make a nation great. Well, what has it done for us? No. Spirituality will make a nation great. Spirituality and then having education. But when education is put before spirituality, you're going to have a troubled nation. You're going to have problems because you're going to have intellectuals figuring out things in their mind. And after, well, you know, God, go sit down somewhere. We're taking care of this. That's what it becomes. Christianity has done it. You know, we're so smart. We go to school. We can all read because we can read the Bible. I don't care how much you read the Bible. It's about believing it. Amen. Reading the Bible don't mean squat. It's about believing it and acting on it. If you ain't believing and acting on it, you wasted your time reading.
Amen.
That sounds good, don't it? It's not enough. It's not. See, we have all this thing. Who cares if I can read? You know, it's just like education. Who cares if all of our kids in school can read, but if they don't ever do any of the work or anything like that, who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. See, we got to get out of this little thing about, see, we put education. Education is good if it's kept in line with spirituality. There's nobody that's spiritual that's lazy. Lazy people are not spiritual people. I'm just telling you, they're not. You can't be spiritual and not want to do an impossibility. I can't be lazy if I'm growing spiritually. It's number one. Spirituality won't allow you to. That's why a lot of people don't want to get too spiritual because they're lazy. And they want to stay lazy. Oh, God will take care of me. Well, hide and watch. I've had those people come knocking, needing help all the time. Those spiritual ones. Well, I'm believing God for this. Well, why do you keep asking me for stuff? Well, I want to know. I ain't God. Last time I checked. You know. See, I've learned over time, I don't ask people for about what I want. The Bible says if I ask God in secret, He'll reward me openly. He don't say if I go blab to everybody else. See, the Bible says about making your requests be known to God. People say, well, the Bible says let your requests be known. Yeah, to God. Didn't say go tell everybody else what you need. That's why some people come along with prayer requests. This way they get to tell you what they need. Hey, maybe I can get them to give it to me. Maybe I can do that. See, I can't. No, number one, see, I don't like that done to me, and I won't do it to other people. I'm not going to do it to other people. Because that's heathenism. There's a lot of heathenism in Christianity. Where people's needs, They're not, you know, going, they're always looking for somebody else to meet their needs. And you end up with a people that grow up that, you know, their faith is somebody else is going to do something for them. And it's really, they don't ever live a rich life of faith that God works for them. You wanted people to arise in that. They come to the place that God does things for me. God did this for me, or God did that. I mean, there's nothing more wonderful than I've had needs already and never said nothing to nobody. I remember the first time God told me, had Wanda and I give all of all the money we had at that time, and it wasn't much of anything, but it's all we had. And the Lord said, I want you to put all you have in the offering, and we did. Never said anything to anybody. I mean, we had bills and stuff coming and all kind of stuff, and we're in this service, and they took in an offering. God says, put it all in. Well, you know, I don't, you know, like to me, it would no different if he'd all asked me to put 10,000. In fact, today, to put 10,000 in, it would be easier to put 10,000 in than it was at that time. It'd be easier to do. Well, we've done that kind of stuff, but it's easier today on the standpoint to do those things. And the amount of money he gave us wasn't no big deal. It was only some hundreds. That's all we had. And I said to Wanda what God said, and she said, well, put it in. I wanted her to tell me, you couldn't be hearing from God. But she said, well, if God told you, put it in. I said, I put the money in. No, actually, it wasn't even her. It just came to me. It was $79. That's all we had, our name. $79. And it was the night of our anniversary. And our mean God was stealing our money. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you what that is. You're going to learn faith through the easy. Forget it. And I did remember, we put that in. A week later, now we didn't tell anybody, a guy came and gave us a check, a nice check. But you know what? I'm serious. The money was nice, but the biggest thing to me was, God, look what God did for me. God did. Man, from that time I understood I have a connection with God. I got a connection with God. Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't something on the outside. It was something on the inside. The outer man was never happy about the money given. He was never tickled about that. You know, because you go home and the flesh be, what are you going to do about the bills you owe? What are you going to do about it? See, your flesh is out. In the natural will talk to you. Your flesh, what about this? What about that? See, now you gave that away. Oh, you're in trouble now, and I sure was. I was blessed. That blessed found me and fell on me. Hallelujah. But you know, in those kinds of experiences, those experiences, God, those happened because of listening what was on the inside, the guy that's alive on the inside. The man on the outside didn't want to do that. The man on the outside, shall I tell you how the man on the outside is? He waits to watch a commercial on television and they'll show a poor kid, you know, not feel, you know, make sure they get a good skinny one, like a good, and they'll move you. That's their flesh giving. People are not moved by their heart of where to give. You know, there's one thing about it, I've learned this a long time ago, is that when it comes down to giving, I mean, there's a million things you could give to. But God didn't call you to give to the million. There's things God's going to speak to you that you're supposed to be involved in and you're supposed to be given. You can't be moved by things that are outside. Even with ministries. You can't be moved with ministries because a ministry is doing good. You better be listening to what God's telling you, because God has, you know, God wants you and has a part for you in this earth. And following those. See, but we're led by the outside and by the outer man. What happens? This guy dies and he's led by the outer man. The outer man is in the grave, dead or a doornail, but he's still led by it. Why? Because he's filled his soul with the thinking of the outer man. He's filled with that. That's why he's thinking. He left. As Marietta Davis said in her book, talked about when she got caught up to heaven, and she said about, you get to heaven, she said, you think the same way you do here. She said, you realize it. You know, the way you were here is the way you are when you get there. You don't say Mr. and Mrs. Spirituality. No, your soul. What you have permeated your soul with thought and thinking, that's what you got there. If you either put the word in you, and or you were sitting there and let your spirit and the Holy Spirit in you be your teacher, or you walked by generally the outer and what was going on, that's the way you'll think about things. And we all get to heaven, we're going to find out and say, man, I ain't near as spiritual as I thought I was. And some are going to go and say, I never was spiritual. So, you know, loads of people get to heaven and are never spiritual at all. They accepted Jesus. That's as far as spirituality ever went for them. And they'll die and go to heaven. When they get to heaven, they're dumb as a stick spiritually. They're going to have to learn. You see, heaven's not different from the earth. Earth has laws and rules and what makes it run. Do you know heaven operates by faith? You ain't going to get by with it. You'll either learn it here or you're going to learn it there, whichever way, place you pick. I figured I want to know how it operates over here. I want to know over here on this side. See, our reward is tied to the life to come by faith, or of our walk of faith. And our walk of faith is this. It's not dealt with the seen. It's dealt with the unseen. What we believe, the Word says it's true, but in the natural it don't look like it. Well, you see, this rich man, he found out it was true. Lazarus is over here in a place of rest. But we find in this instant where it comes down to the things that makes all the difference is believing the Word. It doesn't matter. Believe the Word. It's the Word. Just like with him back then, he had the opportunity to listen to Moses and the prophets. That was their gospel. See, Jesus hadn't died on a cross. That's what they were supposed to be listening to. See, on our side over here, we're over on this side, it's the same way. It's the Word. God called people to preach the Word. The signs and wonders, we find out that in Mark, the 16 chapters, it says the signs followed the Word. It didn't say the Word followed the signs. See, people today follow signs. You let something signs start happening, and you know who runs to them the first? Christians. Signs start happening in the ministry, and a Christian can run into the signs. They got to see a sign. Well, they're having great meetings. Why? Because they're having these signs. See, they can't have a great meeting at home. They need a sign. They can't have an encounter with God. God got to send somebody with a sign. Kenneth Hagin said this, I remember the first time I heard him talk about it. He said about the Lord told him. He said, I don't put special ministries in the earth because of the spirit of spirituality and because that's my choice. He said, I put special ministries in the earth because the church gets into unbelief and I put special miracles and do miracles to get the church turned around. See, we want special. We want all this special stuff. Well, we found out the special stuff was supposed to be operating through all the believers. Through us for others, not for us. Through us. See, I think one of the things that Kenneth Hagin really helped me with is understanding things, because I understood this, that God wanted to manifest himself through me, not everything to me. He wanted to manifest himself through me, not to me. The reason of his manifestation to me was to teach me so he could manifest himself through me. It wasn't about all the gifts working for me. The gifts that operate through me never operate for me. The gifts are always for others. I mean, my calling, it ain't for me. I don't get some kind of special, you know, bunch of stuff because I'm a minister. I have to believe God like anybody else. I gotta trust God like anybody else does. There's no difference in it. You don't get special. It's like gift. God could give you special gifting, but it isn't for you. It's like I've learned these things early because Kenneth Hagin had a time where he was, you know, got off over in Miss Godden area, and he ended up, the devil attacked him and almost killed him. And he turned around and said, the Lord said, I want you to lay your hand on you. And he said, I'm going to heal you by the gift of healing that's in you. But he said, you'll never have it happen again. He said, you're going to have to use your faith. That gift wasn't for him. That gift of healing was for everybody else. See, I don't care how much something operates here. You're going to have to believe God by faith. I don't care how much. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, wonderful ministry of God, demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and died of heart trouble. And said herself, she never developed herself to believe God for healing for herself. All of her gifts of healing never healed her. She died. See, this is good stuff, folks. See, the inner man, building up the inner man. See, we need to understand about this inner man and what's going on with this guy on the inside. This is the real you. This is the place where the life is. You want to run into the life? Run into the real you. That's where God lives. God in, you know, people are trying to get God up there somewhere and God, no, I'm sorry, God lives in me. When I pray, I ain't trying to get out there.
Amen.
You know, me and the Holy Ghost, we got the tag team. He's definitely the big part of the tag team. He's the big guy. When the devil comes out, I say, now you go get him. But he's the guy that backs you up. And see, I learned that over time. He's the guy that backs you up. Things happen. Things go on. So you got to get it within you about what's on the inside. When what's going on the outside of you dominates your life, spirituality won't. See, this is what I learned years ago about what was happening to me, like sickness and disease. Now, if you think about that, Lazarus, this poor guy's out there sick as crazy. You know, he's got sores, he's poor and everything else. He ends up in Abraham's bosom. And the rich guy ends up in hell. Now see, everybody else might focus on the outer man, but at least he did the right thing to end up in Abraham's bosom. Now Abraham's bosom wasn't heaven. It's just like, because nobody could go to heaven. That was a place where people went. In fact, Jesus called it paradise. And it was a place, paradise. It was a place that people went to who, of faith, who were comforted. In fact, we have, and the things of it is one of the things, did you ever notice too, is knowing things. I've literally had a cemetery graduate talk to me and tell me, he says, when you die and that stuff, go to heaven, you're not going to know people. I thought, how stupid is that? You're not going to know anybody. I said, where do you get that so dumb? Because we have here, this guy died, my God, he's a sinner and he knew other people. He knew Abraham. Well, he wasn't living in Abraham's day, but he knew exactly who Abraham was. You ain't get to heaven, you ain't going to have to try to find and introduce yourself to people. You'll know. See, we don't think... See, your outer man, this is what... If you learn... There's lots of times, there's bunches of stuff I've never been around enough, but I know. Never been around them. There's people I've come around to, and I've known more about them and never met them once in my life. Because your spirit, the spirit realm, picks things up. See, we always act like it's always the Holy Spirit. But your spirit's in the spirit realm and it'll pick things up. See, I get around places sometimes. I go places. There's sometimes the places I don't even like to be around because of the activity of demonic powers. And I can just pick them up. And I'll tell you, other Christians will run around and think it's fine. And I can't stand it. It's like, I got to get out of here. Why? Because they're so dominated by the outside, they don't know. They're just dominated by, everything looks good, everything's fine. It's all right. People go to churches that are an absolute mess. And they'll sit there and they love their church. And it's a mess spiritually. And they don't know. Because they're not spiritual. You sit under carnality and you're taught under carnality and you don't ever develop. People don't ever grow. See, he's learning to know this stuff. This guy was the same way. He was, here he is over there. But he knows. He sees Lazarus. He knows Lazarus. See, nothing's changed. He knows. See, you go over the other side on things. We need to understand the things that we will, you just know going over there. You can thank God that your brain ain't the best thing you got. Oh, most people think it is. They think, oh, their mind is so good. Oh, my brain is, I just got a great brain. Well, good grief. Hallelujah. If that's the best I got, who cares? Let's all go home and be with Jesus. Dear Lord. The Bible says God gave us the mind of Christ. He didn't say he gave you the brain of Jesus. Did he? No, he didn't say he gave you the brain of Jesus. He gave you the mind of Christ. Well, I'd sure like to hope that the mind of Christ is a whole lot better than the brain I have. I would sure like to think there's more going on there. Dear Lord, because Jesus is a retard. He would be. See, you can't comprehend God in your mind, in your physical mind, in your brain.
No.
You can't comprehend God.
No.
Your brain will treat trying to compare God to your senses. This is why God gets so weeny and little to people. This is why, well, you know, God don't heal today. Why? Because my brain can't figure that one out. So it must have been for just, the Bible is about yesterday. It's always about sometime before. And they used to do this, and they used to, and that used to work, but it don't anymore. Because my mind will not let it work. But see, on the inside of me, my inside is full of more wisdom and knowledge. My brain goes tilt on it. My brain can't always comprehend what the areas of standing in faith. It'll fight me. See, you got to learn to subdue it. That's why Paul said that he was like a boxer. He said he had to beat his body into subjection. And that's what you got to do sometimes. You just got to slap that stupid thing and say, knock it off. We're going this way. And it's, I don't want to go. Like a little kid. You got to drag him by the hand. That's what your stupid body's like. You just got to drag it along with you. Say, this dumb thing. Thank God the day's coming. We ain't dragging it no more. Hallelujah. That'll be wonderful. But right now we're doing that. Many times you're dragging along. It doesn't want to cooperate. But we'll spend all of our money and time with that sucker like it's something wonderful. And don't treat it like it's that dumb dead thing. Causes me problems. And I gotta walk with faith to keep that dumb thing going. In spite of, I'm believing for God to heal it and it's fighting me. How stupid can a body be? You're trying to get it better and it fights you. It's dumb. And see, get that in yourself about your body. Your body's something you got to slap around and make it do things that don't want to do stuff. You know? Man, it wants socialism. Somebody take care of me. I don't go to work and somebody else take care of me. That's all flesh. That's what it is. It's all flesh. Work's bad. Laying around's good. You know? You know, work 20 years and retire and live the rest of your life playing in a playground somewhere. Letting the flesh do what it wants and acting like you're a nice person. And you end up like the rich man. You end up in hell. Say, my God, how did I get here? How did I get here? I ain't going there. Hallelujah. We're not going that place. Hallelujah. See, we want to understand there's this place and we need to understand there is real hell. Because we found this guy in it. It's a place of torment. Now, hell ain't the last of it. Hell's nothing but a holding place. Hell's not an eternal place. It's a holding place to the lake of fire. To the judgment comes and the judgment falls. People going to hell have not been judged yet other than they're in hell. They're held there till the white throne judgment comes and then the lake of fire and they're going to be judged there. See, we have to know it's a holding place. Well, at that time there was a holding place which was called Abraham's bosom because nobody could go to heaven in those days. You couldn't have went to heaven. If they could have went to, see, people talk about it like they went to heaven. If they went to heaven, what are we born again for? There's no point in the new birth. What was the point of the new birth? You go to heaven with a dead spirit. Well, you can't go to heaven with a dead spirit. That's why Jesus said, you got to be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. You must. You have to. Now, we know it's such. I want to quick read to you something here from 1 Samuel 28. How many of you guys remember Saul? Saul, you know, King Saul. Now, understand this about Saul. We want to go through this. Saul got in a mess where he lost the anointing. Now, I want you, we need to be careful on how that's used and how people talk about it. Because it doesn't matter he lost his face, he lost his anointing. In that time, individuals didn't have anointing. Only the king, the priest, and the prophet, they were anointed of God. None of the people were. And they would be anointed by God to stand in a certain office. It's just like today. There are people who are born again Christians who have lost their anointing. There are ministers who have lost their anointing. They stand in front of congregations, they run ministries, but they've lost their anointing because they've gotten over more in the flesh. They operate more carnally about their ministries and money and everything else, and they've lost their anointing. That doesn't mean they're not a Christian. They die, go to heaven, but in the earth you can lose the anointing God gave you. You can lose it. You can get out where that anointing doesn't work. Now everybody in the church world has the anointing because you have the Spirit of God in you. Everybody has the Spirit of God. But they didn't at that time. And Saul got over there, he got away. Why? Because God tried to get him to do something and he wouldn't do it. God wanted to judge the Amalekites and he would not do it. Because he got afraid of the people. And I'm just scared to tell you this. If you want the anointing to stop in your life, you get in fear of people, afraid that people aren't going to like you if you get too spiritual. That's why many Christians don't like to get too spiritual, because they like people more than they like God and the anointing. I'm just going to tell you, I like the anointing better than you. Hallelujah. I'm not being mean. If you know what it's like to live under, to have it, I'm going to tell you what. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, once you get it, he said, it's like a drug. You just want it again. And it is. There's something about the anointing. You know what? If I don't have the anointing, I don't want to teach. What I like about the teaching part is the anointing comes on me. The anointing comes. And that anointing comes in, and I want to tell you what? It just does something to you. That anointing, and in your own life it works like that. It does. The anointing on my personal life is the same way. You learn to walk in it, and you just get to see things and understand things, and it's like, it just blows my mind, the anointing in my personal life of doing things, and I think about, gee, how God works and stuff and does things. It's like, wow, to me it's exciting. It's like, you know, you're over here operating the anointing you got, and God's blessed doing stuff for you, revealing things to you and showing you stuff. It's like, it is so neat. It's wonderful. It's an everyday experience that we should have. Every believer. Hallelujah. You know, it should be common that we know spiritual things, that they're brought to us. We don't have to wait to the world to try to tell us. See, we today want to think about, we're looking at the world news to find out what's going on. If you don't have God's news, you don't know what's going on. All you're seeing in the regular news, you're seeing the manifestations of spiritual things that happen. But the manifestation don't always look at all like what happens spiritually. You could have a manifestation, the two manifestations that happen that look exactly alike, but the causes or spiritual causes are two different things. And if you try to deal with both of them the same way, it won't work. So you have to learn that. You got to be led by the Spirit. You can't, there ain't no other way to do it. Be led by the Spirit. But here we have with Samuel. So Saul, God's left him. He's in a big battle. The Philistines are after him. And he's in big trouble, and he knows it. And his army's not doing good. And so he ended up going to a medium. Because, see, God won't speak to him through the prophets. God won't speak to him through anything, so he can't get a hold. God won't talk to him. So you can get to the place. You ignore God long enough, and he'll quit talking to you. Amen. Christians can get what God don't reveal anything. Why? Because of things they wouldn't do. See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. It's very useful. He said, God quits talking to you. Look back to the last thing he told you to do that you didn't do. And go do it. No, but see, and here's what he said. You have no need of further revelation if you have not walked in the revelation you have. You have no need of more. As long as that makes sense. Why do you need more information? Why do we need more revelation if a person doesn't live in a revelation they have? What's the purpose of it? That's like, you know, I'm going to go to school to be a doctor, but I really want to be a mechanic, and that's what I'm going to do. Well, what did you go to school to be a doctor for? That was just the thing to do. I needed more information so I can tell people I'm smart. So the smart guy would have been working for years learning how to fix that car. You know, that's the smart guy. But see, we're just full of knowledge. That's it. We're just trying to get knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge. I'll tell you what, we don't need more knowledge. We need more doing. Dear God, get to the doing. Hallelujah. The doer of the word is blessed. Don't say the knower of the word is blessed. So Saul in verse 10 there in 28 says, and Saul swore to her, this woman, because she said he went and told her he wanted her, this medium and the spiritualist, he wanted her. He's gonna want her to call up Samuel. And because he went and asked her to do something. She said to him, and Saul swore by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Said, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out in a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Now I want you to see something. Here is a woman who's acting as a medium, but she gets over and looks into the Spirit and immediately knows who Saul is. See, in the spirit realm, you know a lot. This is why people are trying to get revelation in the flesh. Following the flesh, walking in the flesh, trying to get revelation from God. Go see in the spirit realm. Become inside minded. Your spirit man has eyes. I have never met a person or ever listened to them, a person who got caught up out of their body. When they did, they looked and they saw and they could see everything in the natural, just as all the stuff that was going on. See, your eyes and your head ain't the big thing. God's realm. The Bible talks about the spiritual person seeing. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, many people are just darkened. Their spirit's darkened because they can't get over to see what their spirit's seeing. Because the outer man dominates and rules. So they can't really see. And inside, see, it's more to see than what's happening in the natural realm, it's to see what's happening in the spiritual realm. As soon as this woman goes over, she sees. She sees this guy coming and she, hey, you tricked me, you're Saul. See? Knew that right away. Immediately. See, it's one thing is I've understood this before. I got involved in sorcery because I believed in the spirit realm and the church didn't. The church believed, that's one of the reasons why I never want to be around Christians. Because Christians only knew the natural realm. It's all they knew. You know, I'm saved, God loves me, but He's going to run over me with a truck because He loves me. And this is going to happen, that's going to happen, He's going to do this and that. But God loves us and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, there's a spirit realm. And I knew there had to be a place of power. And it sure wasn't at the church. It wasn't at the church. They didn't have power. They're always talking about their weakness and their frailty. They can't do. And how God wants them in that kind of a situation because He's trying to humble them. Well, when do you ever get humble enough that He exalts you? I never saw any of them get exalted. They were all fighting to be humbled. You ain't being humbled if you never get exalted. You ain't ever been humbled. You've been stupid, but you ain't been humbled. Humility will always lead you to exaltation. And I'm not talking about world humility. Oh, I'm a nothing. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Humility is that. Humility is this. It's submitting yourself to the Word of God being true, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what it looks like. You humble yourself to the Word of God. That's humbling yourself to God. If you aren't humbled to the Word, that the Word's true above everything else, you're not humble.
Amen.
In fact, you're full of pride. You think you know more than God does. I gave that up. I tried that one. I gave that one up. I questioned God a few times. Found out that was a dumb thing to do and it didn't turn out well for me. But anyhow, you're going to have to walk. See, it's humbling yourself to the Word. See, this is not some bunch of difficult stuff, crazy stuff. This is easy things. The Word's true. You guys have heard me talk about it. It's an easy thing to set down. I have decided that the Bible is true no matter what I think.
Amen.
The Bible has authority over me. Does your Bible have authority over you? Those words have authority over your life?
Amen.
That's spirituality. Now, do I know everything about this thing? Ain't no way. But I've settled the fact to walk by faith, you must admit that that's true. Then you got to start acting like it's true. You can say it's true, but your actions are going to determine how things turn out.
Amen.
See, this is true. This thing is true. This is right. No matter how I think, there's scriptures that I sit down and I have been looking over for years and things that I've been reading and I'm thinking, I know on the inside of me, the way I'm thinking don't fit. It don't fit. I've listened to preachers preach on it, and when I listen to preach, I think, it ain't right. Something we're missing. We're missing something. But you know what? I know those words are true. All I need to come to a place to a revelation. Now, one of the worst things I can do is decide, when the inner man's saying, no, you ain't got it yet, but I decide I think I know what it's all about. That's how you start a religion. That's how you start a new faith. That's how you end up preaching a different Jesus, Paul talked about. You have a different Jesus. Today we have a different Jesus, many different Jesuses that are being preached. They're not the word Jesus. And so we want to follow the word Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me quick do this. But I want you to look at this. We have here in this instant this thing happened with this woman. So she saw, now she made this say verse 13, and the king said to her, do not be afraid, what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. This guy's coming out of the earth. See, he's not coming down from heaven, he's coming out of the earth. And he tells, in verse 15 says this, and Samuel said this to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? He said, Saul said he was distressed and the Philistines were warring against him. God won't talk to him. See, he said, I'm at rest. See, he's at a place of rest. And you know what? He don't want to be disturbed. The earth ain't the cool thing. See, when Christianity is fighting to stay on this earth, we're fighting to stay in the natural. We're fighting to stay. It's everything about this. When Paul got to the point, Paul wasn't fighting to stay here. He was wanting to leave, but I'm only staying because I want to see people get saved. I want to help who's here. We need to lose love. Many Christians, they act like it's a spirituality that they don't want to go to heaven. It's because they love their lives here. They have no revelation. You can't have a revelation of heaven and think this is wonderful. You're a sick puppy. I'm just telling you. When you start getting revelation on that other side, you'll have a longing. You'll have a longing. And that should be there. How could the church from the beginning, how could those people be told to keep looking for the return of Jesus Christ? You can't do it unless you can see to the other side. You won't do it. You'll end up wanting to be here because you can't see what's there. You'll have a fear about what's over you can't see. See, we can say the COVID thing, that's exactly what it was. It was fear of the unknown is what drove all the nuttiness. Everybody is afraid they're going to die. Most of them should have been because they're going to go to hell if they die. But hallelujah, me, I had no fear of COVID. So, well, what if you die from it? Darn, I get to go to heaven. What an awful thought. I get to be with Jesus forever. Is that disgusting or what? The fear of death. The fear of death's a terrible thing. The church lives in that place. The Spirit-filled church lives in the place of the fear of death. And they're trying to get healed. And they're not trying to get healed because they have faith. They're trying to get healed because they're afraid. See, I've learned a long time ago. Jesus did something about death. Hallelujah. To depart and be with Christ isn't a little bit better. It's far better. Hallelujah. See, I want to get it over. You're a spirit person made like God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your inner man's not scared. Don't let that scaredy outer man dominate your life. Don't let that scaredy guy on the outside. You're born again. You're a child of God. You may mess up. Just because you mess up, you die. You know what? You get to go to heaven anyway. You know, I'd rather go to heaven as a knucklehead than live here on this earth acting like a knucklehead all the time. You know, it's like, dear God, they get to go to heaven. Saints go to heaven. That's where they go. I can truthfully say this. There's people, when they leave, I just get like a longing in me. I'm thinking, why'd they get to go and I had to stay? It's better on the other side. I can get into longings to want to leave. Because the more I read the Word, the more I see about what's in the Word. I'll tell you, see, I want to get over the place of perfection. I want to get over there. I want to get to this place of the full redemption where I get a body. I want this full thing. I can't understand why people are fighting so much to try to keep this dead dumb thing they have to drag around all the time. And they're fighting to do it. I mean, here, let's get in faith with God about it. Let's get it fixed while we're here. But it's only fixed for a purpose. It's not so I can live in the playground. It's not so I can go on more vacations, right? Nothing wrong with vacations, but it's not so I can live a more comfortable life. It's so I can preach the gospel. Amen. It's so we can bring other people to Christ. It's purpose. See, you lose the purpose in giving. The Bible says, you know, your works you have to give. You say, well, I'm working for a living. Well, why don't you work with what the Bible says? I don't work for a living. Amen. I work to give. Because why? It's a better thing. If I'm working to give, then that means I'm believing to have enough to take care of me and somebody else. People who work for a living, they're trouble. Because they have a self-centered life, they're always thinking about themselves and their need. I'm going to tell you, there's greater needs than mine. Sometimes I think I need things, and God wakens me by showing me people that have 1,000 times greater needs than I do. And I stop and say, yeah, Lord, forgive me for thinking that their thing that I think is so important, it ain't important. I'll never forget the first time, you know, going on a mission trip, and when I saw what was going on and how people were living, I thought, dear God, and I told the Lord straight out, God, forgive me for my big mouth things I complained about. That I thought, oh my, and us Americans, all we complain about, and ah, our government and this and that, oh, just complain, complain, complain. I'd love to pack them all up on a ship and send them to some places. Say, have a big time. Say, you aren't going to a resort. We're going to send you where people live. Yeah. You know, we go to places and we go to resorts, and the resort has nothing to do with what everybody else is living like on the outside. Outside, their life's hell, and we're living in there, you know, eating the best, drinking the best, laying around on the best, and doing all the best. And I go, bless me, Jesus. I'll tell you, it's so wonderful. Look, I have nothing against doing good things, having nice stuff, but I'll tell you what, that ain't number one in Ed's life.
Amen.
That's not number one. Hallelujah. We're in the world that's falling apart. My eternity has been settled in heaven. And I'm going to tell you what, you talk about a vacation coming. Dear God. Hallelujah. You talk about living the best. Woo! It's there. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. That's your destiny. That's your destiny. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for loving us so much. Lord God, it is phenomenal to think that before we ever came to you, before we ever called on your wonderful name, you knew that we would one day. You knew that that was going to happen. But for all those who believed, you prepared a destiny so great, so phenomenal, so outstanding that you couldn't even put it all in the book. You said that there's things that you're going to show us in the ages to come. Because I know this, the book couldn't handle it. And our little pea minds could have never grasped it. There's glory coming that is so great, it's beyond our imagination of what God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say, Lord God, I am so thankful for that today. And Lord God, you did all of this without one thought of anything that we would do that it would be owed to us. Never one thing. You provided all of this by faith in Christ Jesus. All of this reward that is so outstanding and so phenomenal didn't do any of it based on any good things we have done or any things we accomplished or nothing. It was all given, and we accepted Christ, that every spiritual blessing, all the blessings we can't even see or understand yet. Every one of them are ours. Hallelujah! Father God, Father, we can stop and say today, surely you are a good God. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And Father, you made a salvation for us that's secure. And it's secure in such a simple thing as faith in Christ Jesus. It's not based upon some major thing that we can believe or understand or comprehend. Lord God, you gave us the faith to believe it. You gave us the Word. And Lord God, without ever seeing Jesus, without any of those things happen, we just believed it was true. And we came, and you offered all of this to us and say, here it is. This is your inheritance. Yeah. Hallelujah. God, how could we on this side ever think that you're holding back from us anything? That maybe you don't want us healed, or maybe you don't want this, or maybe you don't. Lord, forgive us for having such small thoughts. The small ideas. That, oh, Lord, you don't know how insignificant I am. Oh, Lord God, you chose us in our insignificance. You chose us. In all of our stupidity and all of our ignorance and sin up to our necks. And it didn't faze you at all. You sent Jesus. It didn't faze you in the least. All the mess, and you sent Jesus. And you said, I'm not going to be enemy to man again. Hallelujah. There's no enmity between you and me, God. And God, I just want to thank you for enlightening me. Hallelujah. That I came to faith in Christ. And Lord God, I ain't your enemy anymore. Hallelujah. We're in fellowship. So we thank you today, Lord God. Lord, I pray each one takes their place in the glory you prepared, and not only in their own weakness and frailties, but in the glory that you gave them and you reveal through the Word. That they step up to that place to walk, say, I'm not trying to earn the glory. Hallelujah. I'm just going to walk in it. I'm not going to try to do something great. I'm going to walk in the glory, and glory will cause something great. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Father, it isn't our great works that are going to get us to the heaven. It's our faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, we've run a race that we've fell down a bunch of times in. But hallelujah, it matters not. Our goal is heaven, and we're going to have it. We're getting the crown. Hallelujah. The trophy's ours. It was won by Jesus, and it was given to us. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.